Yeah, Pepper told me that you take this equipment to houses.
Yeah, I can.
If I'd have known that.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, But if we do it again, I have somewhere in Sacramento to go. But...
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yes, y'all. What is going on? This is your man, Buddy Rami, and we are back at it with another episode of the Yeah Buddy podcast. And this episode is brought to you by the Comedy Cash Cow Competition, which is going down May 25th in Vacaville, California. So if you want to see 25 comedians compete for their chance to win a $1,000 grand prize and star in their own movie, you need to go to www.comedycashcow.com right now and get your tickets because they are available right now. Just
that's a deal.
That's $1,000 and start your own movie. And we're going to be giving out headshots for comedians. We're going to be giving them a whole bunch of like social media promo, newspapers, all that good stuff. So it's going to be a fun time. And we're going to have a whole bunch of industry people up there. So we're going to have like
Vacaville
at the Journey Theater, I think that's what they call it now. But yeah, that should be cool. There's going to be, we're going to have a couple of agents up there. We're going to have some people from iHeartMedia up there, film commissioners and stuff like that. So, I mean, even you actors, stuff like that come through network.
That's right in my county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, every episode of the Yeah Buddy podcast, I always try to bring some of my friends in the entertainment business. We could just chop it up, talk about our journeys in the entertainment business, see what we got coming up. And this episode is like no other. This episode, we have a very special guest. She is a award-winning actress. She's in movies such as the independent film Mad as Hell, which is on Tubi right now. She has upcoming movies called Mama Don't Take No Mess and Cocaine Roach. We're going to get into. She's also a published model. She's been in a couple magazines, and she is an ambassador for a clothing line called Just Strong. So I want y'all to make it loud right now for my good friend, Miss Nakia N. Bryant.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you
for having me.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Glad you made it all the way out from where was it? Susan?
Yes.
How's the drive?
It wasn't actually too bad.
Okay. No traffic.
It wasn't too bad. A little bit. A couple pockets, but that's about it.
Okay. Cool. So me and you, we met at the Sactown Movie Buff.
Mixer.
The Mixer.
Big Sexy Brewing Co.
Yeah.
Yes.
How was that? How was your experience taking in that film festival?
I haven't been to a film festival in a while, and that was absolutely amazing. So much fun. Great location. Good food, by the way.
The barbecue?
I didn't get my own, but I think I was eating off of maybe Pepper's plate or something.
Yeah, I was nibbling off. I see the prices. Yeah, I see the prices for them. I say, I'm going to just nibble off other people's plates.
Yeah, I would just say, what's that? Can I try? To like five people. No, but it was great. It was a lot of fun, a lot of faces I hadn't seen in a long time, including Bunny. So, yeah, I've done some work with her before, but that I hadn't seen her in a year or two, maybe.
Mm.
And it was great to see her again and so many other people I had interviewed. I was a co-host of a podcast last year as well. And there were two artists there that I was glad to see. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Shout out to Bunny Stewart. Bunny Stewart's definitely a good friend of the Yeah Buddy podcast. She's been on here. We interviewed her. She's always good time, good energy, good spirit when you're around Bunny and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. But that mixer was cool because I don't know how often you come out to like Sacramento to mix and mingle with the people. Mm-hmm. I know you said it's been a while, but usually we don't get that type of turnout when it comes I mean, it was very good to see a lot of the people from different pockets of like the film community just come together and just like
networking with industry attorneys, directors, producers, and writers, as well as, Robert Parham from our films and a couple other artists that were in our films as well. He really kind of sort of tends to work with the same people and help develop them as artists if they're not already seasoned, just helps develop them a lot along the way. And yeah, it was great. It was great. I had so much fun.
Yeah. You saw the musician?
I did see the musician there. He was awesome, too. I I was so busy on this side, but I did hear him on this side. So it was great to just vibe out.
Yeah.
You know, just totally vibe out. I know I've heard that voice before and I've seen his face before. So it was great to hear him out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always good to see. I think his name was the Philharmonic, or I hope I didn't mess that up.
See, that's what I was thought. Yeah. I should have wrote it down, but he is an amazing artist.
Yeah. It was definitely definitely good vibes, definitely good energy. Shout out to Kier for throwing on a wonderful film mixer. The film festival went on through the whole entire weekend, and that was at the IMAX theater.
Yes.
And at your film that you're in, Mad as Hell.
Sunday, yes. It played on Sunday the 13th.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So many other great films throughout the weekend as well. And I believe they had a celebrity party too. That Saturday night. So okay. Did you miss it?
Yeah, I don't think I got that invite. I was there on Saturday, but I didn't get that invite.
No, I got the invite, but that's the thing about driving, you know, and I just didn't rent a hotel or anything. So I come out on Friday for the mixer and I said, well, I can come out on Saturday. If I do, I'm just going to have to stay the night out here. But I just came out for a little while and then just went on home. But yeah, there was a nice little party that they had. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. No, I think I know what you're talking about, though. Was it the things like the Miss Glamorous? Well, they had a whole bunch of events going on.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah,
they had a whole bunch of stuff going on, which is good. Sacramento's, the whole art scene and entertainment scene has really started to build up out here in Sacramento. And then, so like I said, you had the film Mad as Hell.
Yes.
In the film festival. Not only was it in the film festival, but it also took home a couple awards.
Yes, it did. It took home Best Director and Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Best Supporting Actress.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you won Best Supporting Actress.
I did.
Yeah, don't be so bashful.
Let me tell you. Let me just tell you because it was so embarrassing. I didn't expect to hear my name, right? So when I did hear my name, I can guarantee you the soles of my feet grew numb. I could not feel the bottom of my feet. And this is where Bunny comes in, because I was so grateful that she was standing in the place that she was standing in, because I stopped and I gave her a hug because I said, oh my gosh, Bunny, I don't think I'm gonna make it over there. But she was just so, you know what I'm saying, the energy that she gave. She probably just gave me another burst of energy to just go, but I couldn't feel my feet. And then I just don't even remember my speech, because I don't even think I included everyone that I really wanted to. So shout out to everyone that I love that I was supposed to say. My daughters were there too, and I totally like blanked out on them as well. But I know they love me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it was just an honor, really, really, really an honor to receive that award.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really.
And so in the movie, well, I didn't get a chance to watch the movie. I saw the trailer for it. It looked pretty crazy. It's something about like some... I don't want to go too much detail. I don't want to mess
up. Well, Best Supporting Actress really is just someone in the film that provides glue. Like, it's a piece of glue to the film.
Mm-hmm.
My role wasn't very big, and I really had just one crazy line. But I think what Rob does really well when he's mentoring in films is timing. And then, you know, this line, these lines that he just looks, he's like, no, this is probably going to work for you if you say this. But it was really all about camera angles and timing in that. And my character, Miss Cresswell, you know, she lasted a little bit in the film. And then there were a few flashbacks of her. But it was really, I think it was just the timing in that. Because I would love to be Mad as Hell too, if that's what they're going to do. So,
yeah.
Interesting to see how that goes, because I definitely asked not to die.
Yeah, Madder as Hell, that's what we call it.
I definitely didn't want to die, but, you know, I was at a point where I called him. I said, hey, what do you have for me? You know, I mean, he said, well, I might have something, but I don't think you're going to, you know, he's like, I don't think you're going to like it. And I was like, I don't care. Just call me back. Like, what is it? And he was just like, you know, do you have a gray wig? Do you have this and that? And trying to just study that character, because I'm not that old, not quite yet.
Yeah.
But I was trying to figure out on YouTube how to, you know, one of the assistants there, we were trying to figure out how to do it, you know, because we're not like those sort of artists, you know, with the makeup. But I tried to make it as believable as I could.
Yeah, that's what they always say, because I did see the trailer, and when I was looking at it, I'm like, well, where's the key at? And then I went back and I looked, I'm like, oh, she.
And so that's what's been happening to me probably since the movie come out. You know, I've had to like, but that's me right mm-hmm. there. I swear it is.
Yeah.
And also, too, my weight loss journey as well. As I was filming that, I was definitely a lot bigger back then than I was now. So you can see the journey that I've also. So follow me on social media because you can see the journey that I've taken and just getting my health back and my fitness and my body, you know, my body back and stuff like that. But yeah, I just try to embody that character. But that was me this entire time. And I said, Rob, no one's going to know. Like, how will they know? How will they know? You know, so.
But that's the power of great acting. Yeah, that's the power of great acting, being a great, you know, character actor, committing. You know, committing to the role, committing to this character that you're playing. Because like I said, it didn't look like you. You know what I mean?
At all.
Like anybody goes, well, she has like glasses, this old gray wig, just, you know, just playing it up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know you was talking about like doing like research and stuff like that. What is normally like your process of getting into a character, especially something that's so far like from who you are naturally as a person?
Well, it depends on how many lines I've had. I'm just slowly increasing, you know, my visibility in the films that I'm starting to do now. I was usually just like a visual part of it or created a scene or the aesthetic of it, not just because I was cute or standing back. Most of the time, too, I was in the character and people didn't even know that was me as well. So I'm just now starting to get more into that. But so far, I just read the script and just see what I can, you know, what I can do with the character, really. And the research is not all Googleable. You know, it's mainly someone that you've known or that you've come across in your life before, you know, whether it's a teacher or even someone at the grocery store that has a slang when they talk, or this is the way they do their hair or something like that, or whatever. You've seen someone like that before.
Yeah.
And you just have to tap into it.
Yeah. I think everybody grew up at one point in time had a neighbor that was like a Miss Cresswell somewhere or stuff like that. So
maybe didn't do what Miss Cresswell did, but yeah Miss Cresswell. Yeah. Nosy.
The nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
And then so how did you get started into acting?
Oh, well, Bill was in my first play at third grade. So in my third grade teacher, she, Miss Diana Colomb, who I'm still looking for, by the way, if she's out there, you can speak to her because she really took the time to, She said, you have something and I want to keep putting you in things. So my first play was The Witch, actually, in Snow White. And I was like, I had instantly went through this nose thing and I was like, oh, they just chose me because my nose, right? But no, I had to put some aesthetic on it anyways. But it was really the walk and it was how, I studied the character. I had seen the movie already, obviously, because it's a Disney movie. I was 10, so I think I've seen it. But the costume was different and I changed up her walk a little bit as I was walking into the auditorium and it really, people started clapping and stuff and I was like, I don't know. And then my lines came out and there wasn't many, but I just delivered them in a way that, you know, people enjoyed it. But that was the start of it. And I think I did a couple other plays with her. And then of course in church, I did some stuff in church, you know, my grandma had us in church and stuff. So, and then high school, and then I did sports. So I was into sports after that, like big time basketball player. And then high school, my drama teacher kicked me out. So I think I was a little too much for whatever I don't know what it was. He just, you know, tapped me on my shoulder and said, you know, well, I think he was trying to say you need to go to an art school, maybe. But he didn't say that. He just said, you know, I don't think I can help you here, you know, something like that, something along the lines. I gave him like this music tape that I worked really hard on, like trying to, the double cassettes. And you know how you have to stop, record, then try and get everything on. I like work really hard because I had to do a monologue and music, you know, he just said, give me whatever it is that you have of, you know, you doing. And I don't know.
That's funny because I got kicked out of high school drama class too as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what the most talented people. It's not getting kicked out. It's like, I'm giving you an unofficial promotion. Now you go off.
Right. Because that he in front of everyone tapped me on my shoulder. Yeah. Like, yeah. You need to come with me. Yeah. I was like, all right.
And then you talk a lot about work with Robert Parham. I know y'all worked a lot together. Y'all known each other for close to 20 years now or something.
Since 2005. Yes. So he was actually my work manager, jobby job. He was my work manager for about 2 years, maybe, and then said that he was writing, had his own, film company. That's actually my very first film, The Difference, that I don't know if he wants people to see or not, but it's not bad at all. It's just the beginning of me really on screen with lines and stuff. And that was the first time he was teaching me about, as I said, about timing and product placement, because I think he has his own products that he has in some of his movies. Mm-hmm. And there was this barbecue sauce scene that I kept getting wrong. And he kept saying, cut, move your finger. Can you turn? I was like, what is wrong with my finger? So my fingers were so long that it didn't matter what I did. The label was not fully shown. So, but then I eventually got it. But, it was a really good film about different scenarios that he had written about real life situations that I think still resonate today,
And so it started off in 2005. What other projects have y'all collaborated on? I see your IMDb and stuff like that. It almost feels like he just has you attached to almost
all of them. I've done some outside work. So because I'm from the Bay Area. So prior to that, or even in 2009, I was a part of the headbanger accessory movement, where these three beautiful young ladies from Oakland had this line of these earrings. It was all about face and earrings. And I did their fashion show, and they have three promo commercials, I want to say, on YouTube right now, if you guys want to see them. So I did that with them, and then I did a web series with Razzmatazz Filmworks out there in the Bay Area. Just a trailer, but it was great training as well because, everything is always, I'm always learning, that's one thing. So I can't wait to teach others, what I know. Mm-hmm. But yes, predominantly most of his movies, if you haven't seen The Short, was one of the first, the second project that I was on working with him, and that's called Buster Jones, the movie.
Okay, I saw that.
And we did that out in Santa Cruz. And, any time in between, it's just because I was just told no on other auditions, or, I just had to work. I had to actually work a job or something like that, just to pass time. So,
yeah, because I think that's something that people don't understand, especially up here in Northern California, Bay Area, even more so in Sacramento, is just how much there's not really a strong film industry up here. Mm-hmm. So you got to do those types, how you say, and just the rejection is crazy.
I'm like the poster child for no, because even when I was 19, I trained with Lights, Camera, Action when I was 19, 20 and 21 in San Francisco. It was called Lights, Camera, Action, where we did improv. I used to be really good at voices and accents and Britain. I mean, I can do some things, and even singing voice impersonations and just things like that. So we did a lot of that. And then just work the scene, just auditioning, and we all kind of did it together and stuff. So I'm trained and did workshops and had acting coaches back then. So that was pretty fun.
No, that's what I was going to kind of segue into and stuff like that. Because you say you had a whole group that you guys would go out, audition with. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you had that support system and something similar that you got with Robert. Can you kind of just speak to that, the importance of having that network of people that is just close to you that could give you not only just guidance, but that support for not just the entertainment side of things, but just life in general, the ups and downs.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't honestly, here's the thing. I don't know much about Robert's personal life. Mm. Because we really just work together well. whether I am in front of the camera or behind the scenes. I've done some PA work, some director assist. I mean, I've done pretty much everything behind the scenes as well, which is also a good thing. Like, you know, he is very instrumental in teaching that part of it as well. So, but it's always good to have, you know, a group of people that, you know, you can count on. You know, they'll show up, you know, they'll show out if they need to, but, you know, you're there to produce, you know, some good quality work to the best of our abilities. And some will say, hey, do this, do that a little differently. Or like, yeah, you knocked it out. And it's really welcoming in this industry, you know?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen so often, a little bit, but it's always good to make friends. And if they're going to be loyal friends and they're all really willing to do the work, right? Because you're just here to make great films. And so, yeah, I welcome that for sure. But yeah. It's always a good thing to have.
Yeah, it's all, because you said with all the rejection that you have.
Yes.
Like, it's also good to how you talk about that. Like, you kind of keep it just like from strictly professional with somebody, because you I feel like family, if they're not really involved, or not only family, but friends as well, if they're not really involved in the industry or, you know, what this is, they don't really understand.
They don't. And the time away, you know, is not understood, you know. It's just a lot, but it all works out, you know. If you stay grounded, you know, it all works out.
And so, like, we share similar experiences, just from being an artist's standpoint, being an actor. But what's it like? Like, if you want to give advice or just set some type of knowledge to women that want to pursue this, whether some things that you could just your experience and stuff like that. Because I'm not really. Because this is a male-dominated industry.
It is a male-dominated industry. So I don't know. You know, honestly, I've been rejected more than I've been accepted in a lot of scenarios and, you know, auditions and things of that nature. Like, and this is really quick, but the biggest network that I auditioned for MTV's Road Rules back in the day, and I've definitely auditioned for Tyra Banks's America's Next Top Model. I think I did that twice in the Bay Area. So, and I didn't get it, but I just kept going, you know. That's all I can say to young people, is to just keep going. And in between time, just keep mastering your art. If this is what you love, it's good to try new things. But just stay focused and just keep practicing your art, because one, you know, 520 no's, one, there's going to be a yes. You know, there's going to be a yes if you just keep going, if this is what you want to do. And morally grounded, you know, I mean, listen, art is art, and we all love to be, as women, like, sensual and sexual and all of those things, but not the quick way, you know. Let it take time. And grow into yourself as a woman.
Yeah, set boundaries, know when to, because you're going to hear no so many times. Just understand it's okay for you to say no. Like, if there's something that comes up, that pops up, you'd be all like, I haven't got work in so long. This isn't really something that I'm comfortable with doing, but I want to work. You just got to understand that it's okay to say no sometimes.
Please. Yes, it is. And it's okay to say yes to no to people who are always told yes. It's okay to say no. And just let them, whatever, you know, you can't control what they think about you, honestly. And most of it's not true. So, most of it's not true, you know, especially when you call other people out on things, just whatever it is, most of it's not true. You know, you just have this opinion about it, or you have actual facts, but it's just not true, you know. So you just got to just rise above all that.
Nice. And so you said you had auditioned for Tyra Banks as, like, an America's Next Top Model. If you want to talk about that, but then also just your modeling journey in general. Did you start modeling? Well, you was acting since a child, so that you just gradually got into doing modeling?
Well, so this is the thing. I was never, ever really tall enough to do, like, runway, right? So I think it was like 5'8 or 9 and above, and I'm almost 5'7". So I knew that all the modeling that I would get would probably be either in print or magazines or something like that. But I still went out. 2004, she still has those archives. She was definitely in the Bay Area. I don't know if you've been to the Great Mall in Milpitas. But you have to go there. It's just this phenomenal mall. It's super huge. But I did in 2002, and then 2004 was my last audition for that. But I mean, I still just like went for it. I don't know. Maybe she changed the height requirements. I think she made some changes maybe towards the end, but I don't know. I was too late for that, but it was a great experience. Trust me. I'm on those audition tapes. If she has some archived, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they do like the behind the scenes, like the documentary of like the whole history of American Desktop Model. You'll just pop up in there and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, and I was 17 in Alameda, Norma Payton Henning signed me, but that was really short lived because shortly after that is when I did the Lights, Camera, Action that really took us around the Bay Area and I gained some experience. That's how I found MTV's Road Rules. And I didn't get that either, but that's all right. Yeah. But I remember just standing in those massive lines, just massive line. Like, I didn't even know this many people existed in San Francisco. But, you know, just we're out there auditioning and coming back to the office still with our heads held high, you know, and like, what can we do next to fix? I mean, you know, what can we do next for our next audition to make ourselves stand out a little bit more?
Yeah, it's always just about taking that experience, adding on to, and then, like, say, just pushing for the next one.
Yeah.
Just pushing for the next opportunity. That's what no means, next opportunity. Yeah. So, yep. And then
that's a good one.
Next opportunity. Yeah. I don't know where I got that from, but I heard it from somebody. I took it, then I passed it on to you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to pass that on too.
Next opportunity. You do mostly print. I see some of the work that you had done, like the photography that I saw, most of your pictures were like Vert, right? Or some of them I saw.
Yes. So I have worked with, there's a Sacramento photographer who is absolutely amazing, Tori Scroggins Photography.
Oh, yeah.
So
he does good
Tori,
headshots.
Yeah, Tori does amazing work and he's so creative. Yes, just a few others that I've done just to help build. And when I was younger, just to help build resumes or just build mine resume. But really just in the past year, yes, Vert and I did two shoots. We just did two last year, and then it just got picked up by so many. And I was like, whoa, what is this, Vert? But he's just like, let's just roll with it, you know? So we are going to do more soon. Mm-hmm. Soon.
Yeah. And you've been published in like magazines and
published,
stuff. Published,
yeah. Yeah, those are on my link tree, though, too. If you guys go to my Instagram, go Nakia_Nicole. And click on my link tree, you may have to just purchase a digital copy, which I think is like seven. I don't know. It's not that expensive.
But support. That's the most important.
Yeah, yeah. It's just support. There's, I think, six or seven of them on there. And also a Christmas edition as well. So I was very proud of that because we did a Christmas shoot. And I was just unsure of what I was, you know, when you're just unsure of what you're wearing, those are the ones that are going to do some things. So I was very unsure. I was like, I don't know about that. You know, like, I don't know. But he's like, nah, let's do it. This is going to do some stuff.
Yeah. The Christmas one. I did see the Christmas one. And I was scrolling through and stuff like that. And I was like, they had like the picture of like all the models and stuff like that. And I was like, look at them. I'm like, but yours definitely popped out.
It popped out. Probably because I was the only one of color.
Yeah.
Maybe.
that too. Yeah, she was the black Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, it was in there. Yes. And I'm excited to do all of that. You know, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll take it. Because we put it out there for everybody, but that's just who picked them up. So.
Mm-hmm. And does stuff like that enter your mind, like when you're like on these film sets and acting? Do you see other these portfolios and stuff like that? There's not too many people of color.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. I feel like it's getting better now, you know, but it's still just this, like I say, we're representing something that's bigger than us when we're putting together these
films. Yeah, that's really tricky
projects.
Because, I mean, I don't know, there may have been a point or a time where just people of color, this wasn't what they wanted to do.
Mm.
You know, I also thought of it that way. However, it is, there was a very strong lack of diversity for a lot of projects. me personally being sent all over the place because I'm like, I'm black, but they're, you know, they have me doing all these other things that feel as though, you know, I might be capable of doing, which I'm very proud of everything big and small that I do always. So I don't know. Every time I go into a room, I see someone that looks like me, at least one or two people. Mm. And that, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm sure there was a time when there were none.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, I've seen numbers increase, definitely. And, you know, your writers and your directors, if they're just solely making movies for Black people, yeah, everyone show up and support.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And do you have a favorite, like, modeling shoot that you had bid on?
Okay. Yeah. This is past Christmas one that, yeah. I mean, you know, that was really fun because I never done a Christmas shoot before. And you just have to put yourself into that space of Christmas, the space, and my birthday's in December too. Mm. So I had to like just become this Christmassy person versus, you know, if I was just modeling an outfit or, you know, just a fashion thing, but Christmas has a character to it. So yeah. I had to like bring a character to it. So that was really pretty much one of the funnest that I've been to so far.
And when did you shoot that? Because it wasn't in December, right?
It was in December.
Oh, it was in December?
Yeah,
okay,
it was
cool.
In December. It was probably right after my birthday is December 3rd. So it was probably like on the 8th.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's, it was probably cool, like little, on the 8th.
Yeah, that's a cool little birthday gift.
Yeah, it was like on the 8th. And so, yeah, and then I got the notice that I got into these publications. So, you know. Mm. I'll take that too.
Yeah, what was that like when you just like flip through a magazine and then you just like, that's me?
Just like, yeah. So, I mean, personally, I've only purchased one of them. And yes, it is very awkward because I have brothers. So sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm the only girl and I'm the baby. So sometimes I'm like,
like, who took this picture?
No, but sometimes I'm like, I mean, I know my oldest brother used to change diapers, but still, you know, I'm different now. Mm. So,
yeah,
you know, it's,
yeah.
It's just like, and then like, you know, I don't know. It's, yeah. I don't think about it, but I think about it, but I just don't want my brother, you know, I just. Yeah.
It's like, you don't think about it, but you think that other people are thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, this them in particular, right? Yeah. You know, I don't want them to see my nipples or anything like that, but I mean, look, I'm an adult now, so. Girl. Art is art.
Art is art, yeah. I mean,
Art is art. What can you say? Mm.
And then, so what is it like also, like, not only just seeing yourself in, like, magazines, but now, like, also, like, say, with the acting, working in films, like, because I said, the Mad as Hell is at the IMAX. Mm-hmm. Do you get, like, a different rush from seeing yourself in a magazine compared to seeing yourself, like, on the big screen?
Oh, yeah, it's so different on the big screen. I think this is our second or third showing on the big screen. Mm-hmm. So I did go out to Las Vegas, and there was a screening there, and that's when I first met Cinda.
Okay.
Cinda Williams, and I was just in awe of her because who has not seen Mo Better Blues?
Mm.
And then I have these shoes that, you know, so we were going out to dinner and you know, she wanted to take off her heels, right? So I had this rental car, but I was like, oh, I got these shoes in my car, like these flats, you know, that I drove in and stuff. And so I gave them to her and I wanted her to sign them. I don't think she signed them, but she still had her feet in them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I took them back. So I still have them on my closet. Like, these are Cinda wore these, you know, but it is different to see a magazine though, because then you, because you always have it there, you know, you can keep looking through it. If you watch a film, you get this rush, and then, you know, in an hour or two, the film is over. And so,
yeah,
it's a little different, but I love them both. I love them both. So, and it's good to see people around and their reactions to it.
Mm.
So I'm just looking forward to doing more,
And you get that overall, for the most part, assume people like support what you're doing, the people closest to you?
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I am just overwhelmed with, I had a great week after, you know, winning that trophy. I was like, oh my gosh, I had a really great week after that. And still to this day, because I'm here, you know.
Mm.
So yeah, everyone is like, you know, yes, you've been working towards this for a very long time, or, you know, just congratulations, or, you know, hugs and kisses and stuff.
Yeah. Is that validation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where is the trophy? Where do you keep the trophy at now?
So I have this mantle. Well, both of my parents are in spirit right now. So I have this area, you know, that I dedicate to them. So I just put it up there next to them. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. They're looking up at heaven like, all right, that's my baby. That's
yeah,
my baby.
See, so on the speech, I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to say so much, but then I couldn't because I knew they were there in spirit. And I really want to say, you guys can't see them and I can't see them, but I know that they're here. Mm-hmm. You know, I really wanted to give that moment.
Yeah.
So thank you for this opportunity because, you know, I was like, oh, what was I doing?
Yeah, that's the Oscar moment right there. We watched like tears pouring.
Yeah, just so
like,
next time, hopefully there will be more to come.
There'll be more, and, plenty more.
Yeah, and I'm just going to have to get better for y'all.
Yeah,
that's it.
Keep growing. Yeah, and I know you're going to have plenty of opportunities because you got a couple of interesting projects mm-hmm. coming up that I really want to get into and talk about.
Okay.
So we have Mama Don't Mess, mm-hmm. and then we have Cocaine Roach.
Yes, and I fell out of my chair when Rob called for that. Because that I have a small role in here, but I was supposed to play another role that was a little bit bigger and better. And I just said, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I know this is going to be a great film, but I didn't know how to dedicate myself to it, right? Because that would have taken some research, too, and I think a little bit of training to get that right. And so I have a role in there. And actually, Tori Scroggins is in that one, too, in Cocaine Roach. We're still doing a vampire film called The Thirst.
Okay.
So I think we've filmed about 75% of that. I don't know if he's able to comment or watch if my daughter's on Facebook.
But Robert, we're going to interview him on a podcast soon. So,
yay. Yeah,
So
I think we're about 75-80% done with The Thirst. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to work with Tori again in Cocaine Roach. So I have this cameo. I have a really cute cameo in there. And so, yeah, that's always a great one. And yeah, I don't know. I saw the trailers to some of them, and I've helped on a few different sets with that as well. Mm-hmm. So it should be a really fun film. Action. Yeah. I think it's action because Rob loves action.
Yeah, yeah. That Cocaine Roach, I just like...
Yeah.
You take the aspect of Cocaine Bear and you just replace it with the roaches, and it's...
There's a few other ones too. I think there's like Cocaine...
Yeah, there's a couple.
There's a couple.
Like Cocaine Crocodile.
And I said Roach, though, Rob. Roach. He thought it would be funny, and that's fine. Yeah, and it's still filled with action. Mm-hmm. Elise Hollywood Evans is in that one as well. Mm-hmm. Gary L. Turner, who won Best Supporting Actor, is in there as well. Skeet is in that one. That's his name. Skeet. And it should be fun. There's going to be some laughs in there. I'm sure there's going to be lots of butt kicking and just like a good old time. Elise really, really does a great job in this one.
Cool. And what do you do like both? You play in front of the camera and behind the camera as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have to sometimes, you know, not because I'm forced to, but I have to be involved with something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, whether if it's lighting, sound, whatever it is that, you know, is needed sometimes, especially I don't have anything else to do. I'm like, can I just come on set and help you guys out a little bit? If my role is done on set, you know, but I love to do both. Yeah.
No, that's cool. Cause like I said, being on a film set, or even like you say, putting on a play, it's just, it's like you're just being around family the whole time, and you just really want to soak up that atmosphere and that environment and that energy, because like once it wraps and everything is done, you just be
it's done.
So what am I gonna do now?
Yeah, so yeah, I just try and involve myself with a lot, and I have a few projects. I think I'm I want to create my own film and direct and write my own scripts. And. And I've just been working on those for a very long time as well. Mm-hmm. So now is my time to just start reaching out to people and, you know, making the connections that I really need to make to make more films.
Yeah. No, I definitely say just from winning the award, having all these films working, like I said, both in front of the camera, behind the camera, you definitely have the resume now.
Yeah.
To go out, like I said, do whatever it is that you want to accomplish, whether it's like going out, find an agent, you know, some type of representation. Yeah. Join. Do you want to join the union, be a member of the Actors Guild?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I may be eligible already and not even know it.
Yeah.
So I may already be, and I'm switching, looking for a new management, you know, just new management. And I'm just doing things a whole new way now. So, yeah.
Nice. And then you also, I don't know if you still are, but saw like on your TikTok, I think it was, that you like an ambassador. For
Just Strong. So Just Strong is just a clothing line for women, everyday women who, you know, just go through every day, the life's ups and downs. And wearing that shirt just keeps us, reminds us to just be strong. You know, you're strong. Just be, you know, you don't have to do anything extra. And I've been working with them on and off for the past couple years, but now I may start doing a lot more with them. So yeah, I've been slacking on that a little bit, but I need to get.
It's all good. You're busy. You may like when you wear so many hats, it's hard to dedicate the time
to everything.
Slacking
a little bit on that.
It's all good. They'll be okay. Once you come back, you let them know, like, oh, you just let you know I've won this award and I got all this going.
They'll be like, oh, okay. And there's a discount code too. I believe it's on my Instagram where if you check at checkout, I think it's like Nakia 03 or something like that. I'll double check that for you guys and it'll be on my Instagram or my Facebook, but there is a checkout code. You know, if you go, it's different workout clothes because it's like, you know, it's that time away from home or, you know, when you're really in your self-care mode, working out, going for a walk in something comfortable, you know, that's really what it is.
Okay. And what all goes into the process of becoming an ambassador?
For this one in particular, I think I had to write something like does it mean to be strong or what does it mean to be a woman who juggles life? Like if you have children, if you are married, you know, you're working, you have a career. I think I had to write something for them.
Okay, cool. So yeah,
I think they reached out to me. Yeah, I think they reached out to me like we like your look, you know, we like something. And then they sent me these email of questions and I think I got to double check that, but I think I had to write what I thought it meant to be a strong woman in this world today. Yeah.
So you exemplify what it is that they're looking for. You're just like, yeah, this is what we're looking for. Cool.
Yes.
Awesome. And then, so one thing I always do before we like, you know, wrap up the episode, we're not going to do it yet, but just a heads up, just to let you know, I do like what we call the Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
So that's going to be like your top four actresses or filmmakers or models, you know, people who inspired you or who you saw on TV or movies or in the magazines that inspired you or motivated you to pursue this career. But before we get on to that, I said we had the Cocaine Roach, The Thirst, that's coming out soon.
Yes. And then Mama Don't Take No
Mama
Mess.
Don't Take No Mess. I saw the trailer for that. That was some like 70s, like blaxploitation, like badass Pam Grier type of.
Yeah, and we just did the trailer for it, and I'm pretty sure there's a script, but it's really all about schedules right now. Mm. It's really all about scheduling because Robert is really specific about who he wants to play this and that and this and that. So I think sometimes it's really all about scheduling, getting those actors in, you know, and taking the time with these independent feature films or feature films. So it's really all about scheduling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other than that, yeah.
Yeah. So, but the character, like I saw, like the characters, they are all some, like, some badass women. So I've seen you in two different lights. I've seen you as this old lady getting killed, dying. And then now you just like this badass chick with this gun and stuff like that.
And you'll see as a vampire. Mm. I think there's also another film that's being in production right now in the Bay Area. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it.
We signed the NDA or something like that.
I know a little bit, but not too much, but I didn't ask what I can and can't say about it, or at least my role in it. So I know there's something there for me. I'm just, you know, you're just, it's like, just show up to wait sometimes, in this business. So there's that. And then, did I say I was a vampire? So you'll see me as a vampire. And I have a really cool promo pic for that. Yeah, old lady vampire. Buster Jones was the Pam Grier because my counterpart was the Farrah Fawcett in that film or in that short. Yeah, Cocaine Roach. I don't think, nothing in there. Just a cameo of, it's more like a Stan Lee thing. You know, you go in, you know, you see this person and then they're out.
But there's no small roles, no small roles.
No small roles
in films. Everybody plays a part in telling this whole story. Because you, like I said, you did Miss Cresswell. It was, like how you said, a small role, but it was enough for people to recognize it and you win Best Supporting Actress. So as long as you do your thing, you put in the work and stuff like that, you know, you never know what could happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cocaine Roach, yeah. I just the name of that alone, I just can't see.
It's gonna draw people in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna bring people in, and I think it's going to do extremely well. Yeah, just probably because of the name, but there's going to be so much in it that you're gonna see, action-wise, comedy, just all of that. All your favorite actors that you see in most of Robert's movies are going to be in there doing their thing again. You know, just in there shining and bringing characters to life.
Because who I say? Marlon, because Marlon is in that movie. Marlon Kennelly. Me and him did a short film probably back in like 2015 called like The Two Gamers. So like when I was going through like, it is basically just two movie about two best friends. One dude was the slacker stoner person. That was me. And then Marlon was just like this, you know, not uptight, but just very like, by the book type of person and stuff like that. And we're just waiting in line to kind of like buy this video game. And it's like I said, it's a short film, you know, it co-starred Petrie Bird, who was the bailiff off of Judge Judy. But like I said, it's good to see like him, like I said, just start, like when we worked together, it was a short film. Now him still acting, still doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And like just how small of a circle, how small of a community this is to where like we could always just fucking, it's so easy to root for each other, to want to see each other win, because it's a beautiful thing. With, like I said, just from meeting you at the film mixer, I'm like, well, I don't really know who you are or stuff like that. But then, like I said, doing my research and then now find out how many different type of connections we all truly have and stuff like that. It's like being a part of this film community. Yeah.
We should all be working all the time.
For as much like confrontation or like beef and friction, they'd be like, we all know each other.
Yeah.
Or if we don't, at some point in time, we're going to know each other. So just get along with everybody, man.
Yes.
Just get along with everybody. Support everybody's dream and stuff like that. It's so easy. Yeah. So easy.
That's the easy part.
Yeah. That's the easy part. Supporting, for some reason, it's the last thing that people want to do, but
that's
it's the
easiest
part.
Thing you can do is give someone a word of encouragement or pick someone up that needs a ride, you know, that doesn't have a ride to set or, you know, just anything. Like, that's kind of the easier part, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So now we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the Mount Rushmore. I think I have drum rolls on here, but I ain't set them yet. But yeah, the Mount Rushmore, your top four entertainment business influences.
Okay. Well, listen, hey, growing up, my movie selections were just all over the place, but I was definitely into Marvel and DC.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim Burton was one of the very best of that. I feel Tim Burton creatively, stuff looks so different to him and it translates different on screen, the creativity that he has. So I really like him. And like I said, also to Stanley, just the DC and the Marvel universe of characters. I remember cutting school and going to see Batman for the first time, like 10 times in a row, you know? So who else? I love a female-wise, like Ava DuVernay, as far as her ability to storytell and to capture just moments in time, especially for people that look like us. She is, like, phenomenal at that. Music or, like,
Either one. Yeah, because I know you sing. I know you sing as well, so.
Musically, like, I just get into rap. I don't know. I'm, like, a Bay Area, West Coast kind of gal, so. You know, Ice Cube is definitely up there. I mean, like, I don't know, like E4. I listen to just everything Bay and West Coast. I love East and all. I love it, you know. But initially, you know, that's what like feeds to me there because that's where I grew up in the Bay Area. So that's that. Spiritually, definitely like Maya Angelou. You know, every other day, if not possible, I try to just, you know, read something of hers.
Mm-hmm.
Or just to see her face because you know what she's been through and how she has really changed, you know, the way Black people love on themselves.
Yeah.
So it's her. Movies and actors, definitely like Halle Berry fan, Queen Latifah fan, Whoopi Goldberg. Like, I would really love to meet Whoopi. You know, just your classics.
Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg is definitely an underrated talent.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say underrated because, I mean, she has so many awards, but I don't feel like she's celebrated like the way she should be, from being just, like I say, a stand-up comedian, doing the serious acting from like The Color Purple, being an activist for the community, always, you know, speaking up for, you know, people of color, Black people. And then, like I said, just all the awards she's won, from Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, Tony. It's just. Mm-hmm.
And for comedy, I like Melissa McCarthy. You know, like, I just watch a whole bunch of, you know, I have a lot of favorites that are just, you know, just for comedy, definitely Melissa McCarthy. I mean, there's just so many. That's just so many.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take that. So we have, that was about like maybe like three or four different Mount Rushmores, but we got Tim Burton on the DC side. You got Stan Lee on the Marvel side. Mm-hmm. The superheroes kicking ass. We have, for the spiritual side, we have Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. And have you ever heard her speak like in person?
I've not had the opportunity to hear that. Yeah.
I seen her one time. She was doing like a college tour, just speaking. I saw her up at Chico State. Ooh. And I was all like, I didn't really understand it then, but that, like, what, she had passed away. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, see everybody like, she was this. And she was like,
how did she resonate with the crowd there?
It was interesting because, like, it was Chico. I mean, so Chico's predominantly not Black.
Brown?
So, no.
Maybe?
Oh, no.
White.
Okay. White. Yeah. So, it is white. It is in the middle of the woods. It's just this. I mean, anybody that is, for the most part, like any other type of ethnicity outside of white, is probably because it's just a college town. Mm-hmm. So they're there to go to school, but like to actually live there, be a part of the community, they're like, nah, this ain't us. That's not for us.
Yeah.
But just like I said, just being, but there was white people there too. They were just like taking it in and just like, oh, wow. Like, so she resonated to, I mean, she spoke to Black people, but she resonated to just everybody, which is something that I definitely took away. And then we had Halle Berry, of course. Yeah, everybody loves Halle.
Queen Latifah, because I like her, like, you know. She just gets in there and does it. Yeah.
Yeah. She was one of the first like female rappers to transition to having a successful acting career. Like, And then like with her and Ice Cube, those that like kind of at the same time, but they was both, and they like the roles that they've gone on to do was so different than the people who they really were. Like, if you was to see like Queen Latifah as like the Equalizer, you wouldn't look at her.
Right.
You wouldn't look at her, but she was a rapper, you know?
Right.
Or say with like Ice Cube, you wouldn't look at Ice Cube. And
I like Vivica. Out. I mean, all of those films just growing up, you know, really, really transformed something in me. And I remember watching Set It Off, and like Vivica's character was really on screen the first time I had seen anyone, especially a woman, get shot in the back as she was running away.
Yeah.
And I just don't think anyone picked up on that, but I definitely did. Because I was like, Dad, why'd they do that? Why'd he just do that to her? And she, you know. And so a lot of those roles, you know, all of these iconic actors now have done a really, really great job. And she has like 250 films on her IMDb.
She has a lot. That is, she is. Yeah. I mean, you may not see her on the big screen like that as much or anything like that,
right.
But her, if you go to Vivica's IMDb, it is 250.
Yes, it
films.
Is like something like crazy like that. So,
she's just,
you know,
taking
that
work.
That is something that I would definitely like, you know, strive toward. I don't know if I mind about always being in these big blockbuster productions. I would love to at least be in one. But you know, you just want to keep working, you know, and just making whatever feels good to you. But that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a testament to like really what having an active career is, because I feel like sometimes, especially with like the Hollywood, it's kind of glitz and glamorized to where like you have to be in these big Hollywood movies, or you got to be on these big network TV shows, and that's what qualifies you as being a successful actor.
Yeah.
But it's really just about putting in the work.
Yeah, and being consistent, you know, that's, that's a consistent check.
So it's a consistent check. It's a good enough story. I'll be okay. I'll do it.
So she's probably at the top because I can't get past just 200 and just, I can't get past it, you know, like, so yeah, she's definitely someone that I just strive to, like, you know, I want to do 300 now.
So, before we do wrap up this episode, was there anything that we want to, I think we got everything, but was there anything that you wanted to hit on, touch on before you do wrap up this episode?
No, just thank you guys all for the love and the support. And I'm just still in awe of everything. It's only been a week, but I'm still reveling in it. And just go and check out all of my projects. I really, really, really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yes. So, Mad as Hell. Mad as Hell is on, I believe, like Tubi right now.
Tubi and Prime, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And let's support independent filmmaking. That's really what it's about, because they tell some really dope stories. They put a lot of heart, effort into what it is that they're making. And then, like I say, you're gonna, those are the type of films that you'll look at and you'll be able to watch and say, oh, okay, this is how I could make it at the level where I'm at. You know, so I don't I don't need no freaking $10 million budget or all this, or Disney, or, you know,
to keep creating.
Then what are your social media where people follow you?
Social media. So for Instagram, it is 1NAKIA_NICOLE. So that's 1Nakia_Nicole. On TikTok is Nakia Nicole, NAKIA NICOLE. And that is also on Facebook, NAKIA NICOLE. And thank you guys. Just follow this journey. I will continue to keep creating, you know, what feels good to me.
Yes, yeah, you can follow me at, if you're listening, you can follow me at Buddy ENT or at Funny Business. And then if you're watching this, it's all my social media tags are all down right there, y'all. Don't need to follow. But like I say, this has been another episode of the Yeah Buddy podcast. And like I said again at the beginning of this episode is brought to you by the Comedy Cash Cow Competition. So if you want to come watch comedians compete, battle it out for their chance to win $1,000 at the star in their own movie, just go to www.comedycashcow.com. The whole event is going down May 25th in Vacaville, California at the Journey Theater. I'm going to be there hosting it. We're going to have a whole lot of industry people up there networking, mingling, and just hopefully laughing. Hopefully these comedians make some people laugh, and then somebody will take home some cash money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll be there too.
Yeah, you should come through.
I'm going to come through.
Slide through. Yeah.
It's right down the street.
The key is gonna be there. That's it. We got celebrities in here. We got award-winning actresses. So y'all pull up. Like I said, this has been another episode of the Yeah Buddy podcast. You can listen to us everywhere you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, YouTube, iHeart Podcast, Apple Podcast, and all that good jazz. My name's been Buddy Rami, and hey, I'm out, y'all. This is it. And this is the key of Bryant.
The key of Bryant.
And we are out, y'all.